Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following is a special presentation of the Mungadas St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line.
The pitch.
Swing and a long one. Get up, baby. Get up. Get up.
It's a goner.
From the T.R. Hughes Broadcast Center in Jupiter, Florida, this is Sports Open Line. T.R. Hughes Homes, St. Charles' premier new home builder on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Here we go, Sports Open Line on the Friday night. Chris Raby with you in Jupiter, Florida from our T.R. Hughes Homes Broadcast Center. Happy to be with you until 8 o'clock tonight. Cardinals pitchers and catchers continuing their work here in Jupiter and getting ready for the position players to join them in just a couple of days. Looking forward to Grapefruit League action starting a week from tomorrow. That's right, we'll have Cardinals baseball, and in about 6 weeks, it is the season opener in Cincinnati. So a lot to talk about tonight. Coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, we'll visit with Charlie Marlowe, and we'll also visit with Darren Pang. We'll talk some baseball with Charlie and then bring the Pang with Panger as we do every Monday and Friday. 7 o'clock hour, Mike Schilt, John Mozeliak. Also, we'll hear from Harrison Bader, John Brebbia, and Ryan Helsley. All of that and more now until 8 o'clock. You know, last night we brought you some of the Houston Astros debacle and brought you some of what they said and what maybe they shouldn't have said, and we kind of said the reason you should do things the Andy Pettit way is so people, you know, don't immediately turn on you. And I've explained so often that sports and sports figures, we want to forgive and forget. We want to move on. Well, it's getting worse, and the reactions are getting more interesting, and the reactions are getting more blunt, including reaction of Trevor Bauer today. Bob Nightingale tweeted out Trevor Bauer's comments earlier today about the Astros press conference. He said, "We don't think it affected the game. You're either lying or you're a bleeping idiot. And you don't become a billionaire owner of a team by being a bleeping idiot. So you're lying." Listen, let's just all pull an Andy Pettit.
I am sorry.
Just Andy Pettit all the time.
I am sorry.
Andy Pettit, Andy Pettit, Andy Pettit.
I am sorry. I am sorry. I am sorry.
That's all you got to do. That's all you have to do.
I am sorry.
And people, I think, will be very, very eager to give you the benefit of the doubt and to move on.
I am sorry.
To move on. That's the biggest thing, is that we can't move on. And as long as Jim Crane makes the comments that he makes and the Astros players handle this the way that they've handled this, it's going to be a story. It's going to be a story. It's going to be a story.
I am sorry. I am sorry. I am sorry.
That's all you got to do.
I am sorry.
All you have to do is, what would Andy Pettit do?
I am sorry.
That's it.
I am sorry.
Andy Pettit.
I am sorry.
All right, coming up on the show again, Charlie Marlowe this hour, Darren Pang, as well as we talk some baseball with Charlie, and then bring the Pang with Panger. Blues fall last night in Vegas. They will get the Nashville Predators tomorrow night. Tomorrow afternoon, I should say, about 2 o'clock, and then be in Nashville on Sunday night. Then in our 7 o'clock hour, we'll visit with Mike Schilt, John Mozeliak, Harrison Bader, John Brebbia, and Ryan Helsley. Ben Boyd is our executive producer. Sam Masterson helping us down here in Jupiter. Mike Anderson's my guy back in the KMOX studios.
I am sorry.
That's right, Andy Pettit. And we are hanging out until 8 o'clock. Don't forget to download the radio.com app for the latest that is happening in Jupiter. But again, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can follow me on Twitter. Tweet me at CHRABE, CHRABE, for the latest happening at Cardinals camp. We'll get Charlie's thoughts. I want to talk to him because last year at the deadline, he was very outspoken about the Cardinals, I guess, stagnant July. What does he think about the team right now? That's coming up next. Chris Raby in Jupiter in our T.R. Hughes Homes Broadcast Center. Just getting started on a Friday night on Sports Open Line on your home for Cardinals baseball, KMOX.
I am sorry.
Welcome back to the Munganass St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line from the T.R. Hughes Broadcast Center in Jupiter, Florida. On your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
Welcome back into Sports Open Line on a Friday night as we wrap up the first week, or first at least work week, of Cardinals work at camp here in Jupiter, Florida. Welcome back in to our T.R. Hughes Homes Broadcast Center. Chris Raby with you, hanging out until 8 o'clock. And it is great to have a guy that I really enjoy spending time with join us here in the studio. Charlie Marlowe joins us on KMOX Sports Open Line, a Valentine's Day edition of the program. And that's why we wanted you, and we got you.
No place I'd rather be and to spend my Valentine's Day with than you, Chris.
And on AM radio.
Absolutely. I love AM radio. I've been on a lot of different AM radio stations. Sometimes I get paid for it, sometimes I don't.
Yeah, what's your current status? Free agent?
Next question. What is it? Next topic? I'm just here to talk about 2020, spring training, and the Cardinals season.
You have been down in Jupiter, obviously, for Fox 2. And, you know, it's funny because the more things change, the more they stay the same. Kind of the rhythm of these days down here are different, but a lot of the things still feel the same. And, you know, it's funny. I was thinking about this. It almost feels the same this spring as the last couple of years in terms of the fan base, maybe expectations, frustration level, despite the fact that this team went to the NLCS last year. How do you see that?
It does seem like that, and I feel like it's because our expectations for the Cardinals are so high that for the fan base, quote-unquote, the down year is what, 84 wins, 85 wins, when you had the three straight years of not
being
making
the
playoffs.
Being in contention until the last week.
Yeah. Right, and that's where they've been. So I do think when we talk about the Cardinals, we should always remember it could get a lot worse. You could have a team that loses 100 games or close to that. You could have a team that's tanking. But I think also, because baseball is so important in St. Louis and best fans in baseball and baseball heaven and all that, and Cardinals baseball is so woven into the fabric of being a St. Louisan, that it's good to hold them to a high standard. That's why I think even if you win 91 games, you win the Central, you get to the NLCS in the Final Four, it was a nice season. I also think, though, do you think the Cardinals, were they one of the four best teams in baseball last year? I would say it's certainly fair to say, were they one of the top 10? Were they one of the top 8? Absolutely. They got a nice matchup in the first round. I just think, I don't think the Cardinals should say, okay, we got to the NLCS, we were one of the Final Four teams, we're that close to winning a World Series. Because I still think they needed to add to get there, and they didn't really do that in the offseason, and they're kind of counting on a lot of people, especially offensively, to have some big years, some bounce-back years, and some young guys to really step up.
Yeah, it's an interesting proposition. What is more important? Is it where you end up at the end of the year and where you end up, especially in a playoff system that, you know, has the fewest teams of any sport? The first round's only 5 games.
Or until Rob Manfred changes all that.
Yeah, yeah. Or is it the process, what you have on paper? And I guess the reason it's totally fair, I think, to be critical, perhaps, of what has happened since, you know, that final out was made at Nationals Park and the Nats went on to the World Series, is that your deficiencies and the deficiencies of the last couple of years and the deficiencies that were the most glaring in the postseason have only not been perhaps addressed, but are magnified due to the fact that two of the best offensive players over the last 2 years are no longer with the club in Ozuna and Martinez.
Right, and that's where, look, you have some young guys who are very talented. Tyler O'Neill, I think we kind of sleep on Lane Thomas, how good he was before he broke his wrist.
I would love
to
see what he could have done last year down the stretch.
Absolutely, yeah. And Harrison Bader. I think there are a lot of guys where 2019 might be their down year. You also have some older guys where, do you expect somebody, if you're 32, 33, I mean, certainly they're not going to get back to their prime years, but can they be better than 2019 in the case of a guy like Matt Carpenter? I don't think he'll be as poor of an offensive player as he was in 2019. Paul Goldschmidt had a nice year, but again, I don't think we should expect these guys to put up the same numbers when they're 28 years old. I just think the way I look at the Cardinals, and again, I hold them to a very high standard. I think fans and media in St. Louis should all hold them to a high standard. You can never say the Cardinals don't go for the company line, which you hear a lot from a lot of the brass. Shooting for 90 wins, win the National League Central. They always are competitive at that benchmark. My question is, when does it make sense to make World Series moves? And when the Yankees sign a guy like Gerrit Cole, that's to me, that's a win a World Series move. And that's why when the Cardinals, this whole offseason, maybe still now, flirting with Nolan Arenado, I love to hear that because to me, that's a, we want to win a World Series move. We're not going for, let's win the Central, let's win 90. Hell, let's try to win 100 games. Let's make ourselves on paper one of the Vegas favorites to win the World Series. Problem is, when there's all the reports and rumors out there about Arenado and it doesn't happen, and hell, maybe it still will, but I feel like, don't you think the fan base almost at some point expected it to get done once you hear about it for so long? There's almost a little bit of a letdown.
Yeah, which is funny because that is a presumption that includes, you know, knowing the Rockies' motivations for moving him, knowing what the asking price is, and then assuming that the asking price would be acceptable and all that is, you know, holding back a deal is the Cardinals pulling the trigger. You know, like, to hear some of the asking prices for guys over the last couple of years has been incredible. It seems like it's very much a seller's market. So, hypothetically, completely hypothetically, let's say the Rockies asked for Nolan Gorman, Matthew Liberatore, and Dylan Carlson. If you're a fan, you're saying, I think 99% of fans would say, there's no way that deal makes sense, right? There's no way that deal makes sense. But since you'll never hear that report, how do you balance wanting deals to get done and the excitement and fans wanting moves to happen versus also being prudent, keeping your powder dry to some extent, and not just trading away some of the best prospects you've had in years for a veteran with hundreds of millions of dollars on his contract? You know what I mean?
I think, right, and that's, to me, that's the difference at the end of what you just said, where you already have a guy, and again, hypothetically, I'm winking. We're talking about Nolan Arenado, who is making, what, 35-ish million every year. That's a different type of deal. You've seen in recent years when you trade these really controllable, team-friendly deals, whether it was the Chris Sale deal, right? And when you're getting that, that contract is an asset.
Jose Quintana at the time.
Jose Quintana,
yeah.
Absolutely. Now, everybody knows Nolan Arenado is one of the best players in baseball. He'll probably be a Hall of Famer. He's the best third baseman, gold gloves every year. We know all that. But also, that's a heavy price tag. So sometimes I feel like baseball is almost turning into the NBA with expiring contracts where you don't have to give up as much. If you're taking on $200+ million, you're taking that off the table.
But I don't know if the Rockies, that assumes the Rockies are trying to get rid of that money. Like, they signed it last year. I think they're comfortable with that money. Like, my question is, if you wanted Nolan Arenado, you could have gotten him for just money. You could have signed Anthony Rendon or made a run at Anthony Rendon. So does the fact that, by all accounts, they weren't involved in Rendon tell us about their involvement level perhaps in Arenado?
Right, and that's where I think, look, it's so interesting to me with baseball, and you talk about the money with the Cardinals, because every move that you could make or think about making, they're all predicated on what happened in the past. And a deal you make, whether it's good or bad, influences how interested you are in a market like third base this offseason. For example, I mean, we all know Matt Carpenter had a down year. And Matt Carpenter, if they don't sign that extension, Matt Carpenter might not be a Cardinal right now. But he has that deal, and what are we talking about? 35-ish million for a couple years. And when you sign a deal like that, you're hoping that he's going to bounce back, but it also means you're not going to be as interested in the third base market, or if you are, you're going to have to move some guys around. And look, I think Matt Carpenter is going to be better in 2020. We all like Tommy Edman. Do you like him more as an everyday third baseman or as a Ben Zobrist type that's going to play four different positions and still play 145 games? But I think we all know that, look, if they don't sign Carpenter to that extension, what happens after 2019? Do you think Matt Carpenter is still a Cardinal? And then, as you said, are they more interested in the Donaldson market? Anthony Rendon is a ton of money, but they've always flirted with Donaldson
for
the last couple of years.
Even Donaldson got, what, $100 million?
Right. And he's older. He's in his mid 30s.
Yeah, I just it's you know, I guess, and this will sound, I guess, apologetic, but it's almost easier said than done to just add that one glaring piece, you know, because there aren't that many guys. I do wonder how things will change over the next 3, 4, 5 years, as I think we're starting to see a trend where more marquee players are not signing that extension pre-free agency and are not eating up their arbitration years. And not only are guys like Juan Soto and Ronald Acuña Jr. and Jack Flaherty getting to the major leagues earlier and earlier, but then maybe they'll get to free agency. And maybe we'll start to see more of those mega, mega, mega Bryce Harper, Manny Machado contracts being signed when guys are 26, 27 years old.
That's very interesting. And to me, we'll see what happens the next CBA. We have a couple of years, but I think a lot of things are going to change there, because it's clear that these players, they're not happy with the service time manipulation. And it's happened to almost every young player except for what? Jason Hayward? Is he about the only person you can think of that really came right up and they didn't do that? And that's why he hit free agency so young. I mean, we all saw Jack Flaherty's tweet, and here's a Cubs guy. I mean, this is your heated rival, Chris Bryant, and Jack Flaherty came out and said that's basically what? That's BS, what happened to KB. I asked Jack Flaherty about kind of just why it's important to him today when I talked to them about just knowing the business of baseball. And he said, it doesn't matter just baseball. Any business that he was in, he said he wants to be educated. He doesn't want to go to somebody else for information. But look, I always thought that baseball made sense because the teams got the discount early, but then they did overpay guys late. Like, we all know that. When a guy hit 30, 31, they'd get the big deals. They were good for 3 or 4 years. The end of those contracts were not good.
Yep.
But I felt like it was fair. You know what I'm saying? And again, steroids also changed the game, because for a while there, those guys were getting good value at 36, 37, 38. Now that's not the case. I don't think the game right now is fair for the players. I think everything is on the side of the owners and the teams right now, because they all manipulate that seventh year. You know, if Dylan Carlson comes into spring and just hits 380, he's hitting bombs, he's playing defense. Let's say Tyler O'Neill and Lane Thomas, it's just not looking as great. Are the Cardinals going to put Dylan Carlson on the opening day roster, or are they going to keep him down so they can get the seventh year? And I would probably do the same from the Cardinals, because that's in the CBA. To me, it's not fair for the spirit of the rule. But I get why they do it.
I think that the way this team is built right now and the way they think about Carlson, that if he gives them no choice, he will make the team. And I think, and again, the right told or whatever, I truly think that with the deficiencies they have right now, if he doesn't give them a choice, or if he ends up going back to the minors, that will be because A, either Lane Thomas or Tyler O'Neill has been amazing and they don't want Carlson to be a part-time player, or B, they say this guy's only had a couple hundred pro games ever, you know? But it's a fair question. Anthony Rizzo is playing this year for a team option, $14.5 million, and next year has a team option for $14.5 million. Will not be a free agent until 2022 because he signed a 7-year, $41 million extension back in 2013. Now, that was before Anthony Rizzo was perhaps Anthony Rizzo, and 2 years before the Cubs made the postseason. But you're right, man. Like, I don't know if Jack Flaherty will sign that contract. Pitchers may be a different game because of some of the arm issue scares, but you're right. And that's a fair question when it comes to Carlson.
And I always like to look, you go to Baseball Reference and you see some of these guys that sign deals like that. Tim Anderson is another example of, you know what, you also have to understand, though, that the club is saying, we're going to give you millions of dollars before you're necessarily proven. Now, there's a ton of talent there. The Acuña deal, he gets $100 million, but it's crazy to think that $100 million is probably going to be a discount for somebody like that. And look, whenever we talk about this, especially in St. Louis,
and
we always
Rizzo
bring up,
had only played, he had played fewer than 162 major league games when he signed that extension.
And whenever we talk about these team-friendly deals, where it's always smart for the team to throw these deals out there, there's not as many bad ones. We always bring up Alan Craig, though, right? I mean, Alan Craig got a deal like that early in his career, but he got the security of some money, and maybe at the time you think, oh, he could make more than that, and what happens? He's hurt. He was never the same player. So there are those cases, too.
But his deal was still attractive, and the Cardinals turned him into John Lackey.
That's true. But that was also... that was before he really hit rock bottom as a player.
Boston,
so the Cardinals were very smart there to deal that player when he still had value.
Charlie Marlowe from Fox 2. So I'll leave you with this. What is your expectation for this team? I wonder also if some of the motivations or a lot of the motivation for what the front office has done and the team that they brought south has to do with what the Cubs and Brewers haven't done. The fact that Cincinnati's added a lot, but they're adding to what, a 70-something win team? How do you view this team today on February 14th, the old Valentine's Day eye test, the old VDET?
They always say you always judge your team on what? On
Valentine's Day.
On Valentine's
and
Day.
And Flag Day.
Memorial Day, Flag Day, 4th of July, and Labor Day. I always expect the Cardinals to be very competitive, which is why when we criticize them, we have to remember we're still criticizing a team that won 91 games because we want them to be a World Series team. I think they're going to have great pitching. I think every year they come in, they have so much flexibility. And call me stupid for thinking Alex Reyes is still going to be a big thing. I do. I still think even if it's, think about nowadays, the multi-inning reliever, even if that's his role, he can be super valuable in that role. Jordan Hicks.
Look at Andrew
back.
Miller as a starter before he moved to the bullpen when he was in Florida, one of the top prospects in baseball.
Absolutely. So I think this team, they're going to be right there the whole season as they always are. I have big questions about the offense, but also it would not surprise me if Tyler O'Neill, given an opportunity, and sure, he's probably going to strike out a ton, but if he goes out there and can walk a little bit and can get his OBP up enough that he can play five days a week, would it surprise you if his OPS is that much different than Marcell Ozuna? That's where you understand the economics of $550,000 versus $18 million if you don't think the production is going to be that different. What I think is going to be very interesting, and this is my biggest criticism of the Cardinals last year, even though they got to the NLCS, I thought last season at the trade deadline was the perfect year to make a move to try to get better, improve, and give yourself a better chance in the playoffs, even though they ended up winning the division and getting to the NLCS. If the Cardinals are in the same spot this year, and I think they will be, I think they'll be right there either winning the division, couple games back, right in the wild card race, whatever it is, at the trade deadline, are they going to try to make a move to put themselves over the top? I really thought they would last year, and they didn't. I understood why they didn't the previous 3 years. Those teams weren't good enough to say, hey, if we get in there, maybe we can win the World Series. And I understand they got swept by the Nationals. I just thought 2019, it made a ton of sense, and you had a need for innings as a starting pitcher. You had a need there. So if the Cardinals are in it this year, I would love to see them go for it because that's what I think Cardinals fans want. They know they're going to always be competitive. They want to see this team go for it, compete with the Nationals and some of the best teams in the American League to actually become a legit World Series contender.
Charlie Marlowe from Fox 2.
On Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day takes. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you. And thank you.
We will take a break and be back. More Valentine's takes coming up. It's Sports Open Line on a Friday night from Jupiter. Chris Raby with you until 8 o'clock on your home for the Cardinals. Darren Pang joins us next, bringing the Pang right after this on KMOX.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to the Munkin' St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line from the T.R. Hughes Broadcast Center in Jupiter, Florida, on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
Welcome back to Sports Open Line Friday night on KMOX. Chris Ribby with you from our T.R. Hughes Homes Broadcast Center in Jupiter, Florida. Let's talk a little hockey. Great to have Darren Pang join us. Bringing the Pang, as always, brought to you by T.R. Hughes Homes, St. Charles' premier new home builder. Blues getting ready to head back east after games in Anaheim and Vegas. Panger, what's going on? How are you, man?
I am doing great, Chris. Obviously, a pretty rugged and emotional last 48 hours, without a doubt, and I'm really proud of the way these guys played last night. I've never been in that position, and I can't imagine how difficult it was, but I thought all in all, to be honest with you, it was a pretty entertaining hockey game, and to see Stanford score four goals for the first time in his career was something else to watch.
Yeah, pretty amazing. And, you know, listening to Alex Pietrangelo Panger yesterday, just after the morning skate, saying what it was like to get back on the ice and kind of use that as a distraction. So much going on, so much emotion. What have the last couple of days been like? And what's it been like to have the guys' dads around as the team kind of works their way through what was a really tough experience on Tuesday night?
Well, you know, more so than hockey, it was very, very important to have the dads here. Very important. I can't stress that enough. I mean, this is a time in their lives where they saw a fallen friend and they didn't know what was going to go on. And with that uncertainty, that becomes so unpredictable. And I think having the dads here and having friends here, a guy like Zach Sanford had his childhood friend here. Brett's a great kid. And he got to see, you know, a guy like Zach Sanford scores, you know, four goals. And at a time in which Zach Sanford, over a year and a half ago, his father died of a heart ailment, of all things, and he's without his dad. So it was important that he had his friend. It was important that, you know, Joe Pietrangelo was here for Alex. It was important that Thomas Steen came in yesterday for Alex and Alexander Steen. So all in all, I mean, you know, we show all the dads all the time because it's fun. It's dads. They're having fun. The players are winning. They're 7-1. But this was different. This was about being a family, being a dad to their boys.
Yeah, there's something about hockey, Panger, and certainly in any sport, the amount of time that guys spend together. But within the culture of the NHL and this Blues team, this Blues organization as well, these guys have been so close over the last couple of years. And to see something like that happen, you know, to all be together, to all be on the road, I imagine that was important, and that was an important part of now kind of moving forward and hoping not only the best for Jay, but the best for this team over the next days and weeks and months and so on and so forth.
Yeah, there is no doubt about that. I mean, and you're right about how close the fraternity is. I mean, you know, I'm not saying it's different than other sports, but, you know, you're playing the 82 games. You're having morning skates. You are together all the time. You're in a small locker room. You're literally putting the shin pads on right beside the guy that you've done it a thousand times with. So, you know, I don't know what this team's going to be like going forward, Chris. I wish I had that answer. I didn't know what it was going to be like, you know, yesterday or last night for the game. I didn't know what to predict. Was it going to be a 2-1 tight checking game, or was it going to be 9-8? And I think we saw more of the latter just because it was unpredictable. And, you know, tomorrow against Nashville might be more unpredictable, and the next day might be unpredictable. I mean, these guys might be out of fumes right now, and so we'll see. But one thing for sure, Chris, is when this team has a challenge in front of them, boy, do they ever display some heart and some courage. So it wouldn't surprise me if that happens here in the stretch run.
Yeah, the Blues will be back home tomorrow night. We'll get to the game on the ice and what we've seen on the ice in just a moment, Panger, as Darren joins us, bringing the Pang brought to you by T.R. Hughes Homes. But I'm wondering, too, about Craig Berube because, you know, as a leader, Panger, he has been with this team the lowest of lows on the ice, the highest of highs on the ice. And in the last year plus, maybe 15 months that we've seen Craig lead this team, I know I've asked you this question before. I've asked you what you've learned about him as a coach in terms of hockey decisions. But how about a leader outside of hockey? And how about a guy who this team and people in the organization can lean on to lead when things are good, when things aren't good? How have you seen Chief, in his own way, continue to lead this team and kind of direct the compass, if you will?
Well, we all know. I mean, Chief's he's a rugged guy. He's a very blunt person, but boy, he's got a good heart. And I walked from the practice yesterday to our hotel here in Vegas with him, and I just asked him. I said, like, you know, is this number one? Is this going to be your toughest coaching challenge? I mean, is this going to be about pushing? Is this going to be about nurturing? Is this going to be about putting your arm around people's backs and how much of a challenge it is? And he actually mentioned, you know, those elements. When he was asked yesterday morning, I mean, his head was down and he was like everybody else. I think once you start talking about it, you get a little rattled and you get a little choked up. And so he's, I think you're a good coach because you're a good person. Does that make, it probably makes sense. I mean, I think because inside you've coached all your life, you've been a dad to kids. I think there's a time when you've got to push the envelope and knock people on their rear ends. And there's a time where you got to coach them up and you got to do your best when people aren't feeling down. So I do believe he's going to be challenged the most he's ever been challenged. And because it's on a personal side and they're without one of their top defensemen, by the way. So, you know, we saw a glimpse of that last night in the penalty kill. Vegas went 3-for-3 or 4-for-4. And, you know, Jay's a big part of that. He's a big part of the team. And we don't know where the future is right now.
Yeah, it's like anything in life, right? Like, if you're going to lead, you need to know what buttons to push, when to push them. But you also need to be trusted. You need people to understand that the decisions you're making are for a reason and that you're doing your best to put everyone in the best position possible. And I think we see that with the way guys respond to his on-ice decisions as well, you know?
Yes, that's exactly right. And that's what, you know, the leadership part of it is. He's got total control there. I mean, if he wants to take away ice time, he takes away ice time. If he wants to tell a player, well, you want to play more? Player says yes. He says, let him play better. You know, it's very simple. But, you know, he's the commander. He's the one that leads there, along with his leadership group, with Alexander Steen and with Petrangelo, and obviously Jay Bouwmeester right now is still going under test with that cardiac episode. But those are the leaders. Those are the guys that he counts on for information.
Yeah, perfect example when a member of the media, like, let's just say, for instance, Mitch Bozak, asks about more ice time for Tyler Bozak. He's ready with an answer.
That's right. You're exactly right. And I am just getting news here. I'm not sure if that's out there, but I just got news that, you know, Jay Bouwmeester did have a successful implantable cardioverter defibrillator, which is, I guess it's called an ICD procedure. And that was done at UC Irvine Medical Center in Anaheim. This note just came across, and it's been released by the St. Louis Blues. So I just want to give you what's up to date here. So
yeah, fantastic news that the procedure was performed, and Bouwmeester is going to be flown back to St. Louis after his release, and will be monitored by Barnes Jewish Hospital and Washington University physicians. It's amazing, Panger, and you know, when we think about pro sports and think about the Blues, and I'm down here at spring training with the Cardinals. You know, you're fortunate that these guys get the best medical attention possible. As you know, I think it was said, you never in a million years want to see something like this happen. But, you know, the situation and where it happened and the attention that was paid to Jay, the care that Jay has been given over the last couple of days in Anaheim, the care he'll get back in St. Louis, from just a personal standpoint, you couldn't ask for anything better. And glad to see that good news and that Jay is going to be able to head home to St. Louis, hopefully very, very soon.
Yeah, that is, you are right about that. Many people over the last 48 hours have said, if this were to happen to you, to anybody, you'd want it to be in this environment. And you are right. The instantaneous response, the quality, the fact that there's a defibrillator, you know, 4 yards from the end of the bench where he was, the doctors. Yeah, you are right. And by the way, UC Irvine Medical Center in Anaheim was a half a mile away, and it's one of the best. So, wow. And boy, oh boy. So hats off to Dr. Patel, who did the cardiologist that did the work there at UC Irvine for Jay Bouwmeester.
All right, Panger, let's talk a little bit about what we've seen on the ice. And obviously, the game in Anaheim postponed in the first period. Last night, the Knights 6-5 over the Blues in overtime. What have you seen from the Blues? And you mentioned it earlier, just the response, the spirit that the Blues played with last night as they played for the first time since Bo's scare. What did you see, and what can you take from a road trip on the ice outside of everything else that has gone on and that this team has had to juggle?
Well, there's obviously some things that are going to need to be cleaned up here a little bit. The penalty kill is going to have an adjustment now with Jay Bouwmeester not active. You know, I thought last night, you know, the goaltending, it looks like 6-5 is the number, and it looks like a big number, and it's the 10th time that they've given up in a row that they've given up three or more goals against. So clearly that's part of taking care of the defensive zone. That's part of the forwards coming back a little harder. It's part of the goaltenders being a little sharper. But I thought that Jordan Binnington made some great saves last night. Like I thought he was on top of it. And what I saw last night was I don't usually get in on this kind of thing, but I didn't like at least four or five of the calls that were made last night. And so I thought the Blues were on the other end of that. I'm not an excuse maker, but I think those are the facts. And so other than that, I thought the Blues played really well. Anyway, now we're going to have to look at some line combinations, see who gets in the lineup, see if he needs a left-handed defenseman or like Mikkola or a right-handed defenseman like Robert Bortuzzo, and see where he goes from that. But bottom line is, they've got to tighten things up defensively.
Yeah, and the test will be quick as you come home and take on the Nashville Predators tomorrow afternoon and then head to Nashville for a back-to-back. It'll be Saturday afternoon and Sunday evening, and you're going to see a lot of the division over the next couple of weeks as you'll see Nashville twice, you'll see Dallas twice, you'll see Minnesota, Chicago twice all over the next 3 weeks. So, you know, this is where you can make your hay, and this is where the Blues can really turn it on and create some separation and put themselves in an even better position in the Central, Panger.
No, you're right. These are the points that are important. And their record against the Central Division the last maybe six or seven games is not good enough. They're losing some valuable points that way and letting teams that are underneath catch up. Bruce Boudreau, the head coach of Minnesota Wild, Chris, has been let go. That was said by Bill Guerin, the GM, today. So Minnesota will be a different challenge with a different voice behind there. And the Nashville Predators, anytime the Blues play Nashville, especially in a home-and-home, I love the atmosphere both in St. Louis and in Nashville. That's going to be two great games.
Hey, Panger, last thing for you before you guys head back to St. Louis. What can you say to Blues fans for what their support, whether it's, again, good times or tough times, emotional times, what that means to you guys, what that means to the team? You're around them so much, whether it's on social media or anything else that has happened over the last couple of days. How important has that been, and what can you say to the fans of this club?
Well, I think everybody would agree that that's a huge part of having confidence and having morale. And you get morale from what's around you. And I think the fans of the St. Louis Blues are extraordinary. They've hung with this team and this franchise for a long time, and now they're Stanley Cup winners. So it's even more so. There's more sweaters in rinks all the way around. There's more cheering. There's more social media. There's more backing up the players. So I guess I'm not speaking for everyone because they can do it, but I will say from our standpoint, the broadcasters, we say thank you because it makes our job a whole lot of fun, and it makes us feel like we're a big part of it.
2 o'clock Central tomorrow, as I'm still stuck on Eastern time out here. Panger will be on the call with John Kelly, Fox Sports Midwest, the Blues, and the Nashville Predators. Panger, we appreciate it, man. Always enjoy chatting, and incredible insight and just great perspective all this week. I know a lot of people were thrilled to have the updates coming from you and the perspective you were able to provide as you're with the team out west. Have a safe trip back to St. Louis. We appreciate it as always.
I will. Thank you very much, Chris. Have a great weekend.
When we come back, more baseball from Florida and our T.R. Hughes Homes Broadcast Center in Jupiter. Going to visit with Mike Schilt, John Mozeliak, and go into the Cardinals Clubhouse. That's all coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. Ben Boyd, our executive producer, Mike Anderson, back in our KMOX studios. And we're back after the news on your home for the Cardinals, KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.